Going through Hebrews 11, Paul speaking to these Jews about faith. We've talked about Gideon and Barak. We've come up now to the time of Samson being mentioned in the 11th chapter. And we're dealing with the text of faith. We have pointed out through this entirety of this series, as the entire Bible does, the glory of God, the work of Christ, which is finished in the eternal sense, and also as He walks with us daily. God gives us faith. We're sinners. We're not perfect. We're not even good. We are sinful men and women. Our very existence is sin before God. If you study the books of Scripture and you study Hebrews and you study the 11th chapter, all of these men that are mentioned had problems. All of them had sin. But you see, God gave them faith. God gave them an understanding of things not yet seen, things which we cannot see while we live in this body of flesh, things which await us when this spirit leaves this body and this body is laid into the ground, things which await us when this body is raised up at the voice of the archangel, which is Christ the Lord, and reunited with their body spirit. So these things keep us moving, keep us serving God, keep us ever seeking after God. Now you pray for me. I want you to understand Solomon was a sinner. Samson. I keep thinking of Solomon every time I read of Samson because they both had the same problem. Now, if we begin to speak of faith and Samson, then we must begin with his parents. For his mother was barren. God told Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, dress it and keep it when he placed them in the garden. They were to dress and keep the garden. Childbirth is a natural instinct for a woman to desire. I remember when Joshua and Rebecca were married, Becca was having a hard time trying to conceive a child. It bothered her. We prayed. I'm coming down the road one day from Moody back into Leeds. Josh calls me on the phone. They're in Oxford, Mississippi. Josh tells me, he says, Dad, I'm going to tell you something that you cannot tell anybody right now. And I said, Becca's having a baby. He said, how did you know? Because Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. We had prayed for that. My point behind all that, of course, Levi's sitting there, the firstborn. My point behind all that is a woman has a desire to have a child. Many cannot, many do not. But it is an inborn desire by the nature that God created. And Samson's mother was barren. And there came an angel, and if you'll notice there, the scripture says a man. It didn't say it was a little blonde-haired woman with a halo above her head. Did not say it had wings. It said a man, an angel, a messenger from God. This was not just a man upon the earth, because if you read toward the end of the 13th chapter, you'll see when they offered an offering to God and the flames consumed it, the angel went back up into glory in the flames of the altar. A man could not do that. This was an angel from heaven. And God sent this angel to this woman. This woman, let that sink in, old hard-headed, stiff-necked, old Baptist of the past. God came to this woman, this angel, sent an angel, and told her that she would conceive. Mm-hmm. He brought her glad tidings in Christ for every good gift and every perfect gift we have from God above. And he told her that she was not to eat anything unclean or drink anything of the fruit of the vine, because the child which she would bear would be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And a Nazarite could not drink alcohol, and a Nazarite could not cut his hair. I've heard men say Christ was a Nazarite. No, he was not. Christ kept the law to a jot and a tittle. Steve has just told us about the wine the Lord made and partook of, and a Nazarite could not drink. Therefore, if Christ kept the law to a jot and a tittle, he could not have been a Nazarite. And history records Christ as having shorter hair above his shoulders. A Nazarite could not have a razor upon his head. But let's make a point with that woman while we're talking about faith. She went and told her husband. He did not doubt, but he did want to see the man, not knowing that he was an angel. Now, let's take an example. You see the instruction, the angel, God's word, which we have in Scripture, would be compared to this. The angel told the woman what she should and should not do. You see how she acted, how she behaved when she obeyed the commandments that God was giving her through this angel. Take example of that. We look around. We're talking about faith. The text is faith. We look around this world today. We look around the republic in which we live, where God's church has been here for over 200 years. It's falling apart. Satan is having his way. The spirit of darkness flows through this land. Family has become a thing of the past. Marriage has become a thing of the past. Children no longer obedient to their parents. Where does this start? The woman obeyed the man. The man obeyed the man, the angel. Let the buck stop where it does. Take example from that. Their faith in this man, this angel that God sent to Manoah. And Samson is born. Samson is a Nazarite, so there would be no razor upon his head. And there would be no wine nor strong drink touch his lips. We find Samson, as he's old enough, falls in love with a woman of Timnah, if I pronounce that correctly. This was a land and a people that reigned over the Israelites with the Philistines for 40 years. They were in their bondage, if you please. This was a woman whom, under the law that God gave to Moses, was not allowed to be married to an Israelite. For God had told them, do not take their daughters to wife. And he gave them a reason. Because they'll lead your heart astray, and you will fall, and you will worship their gods and turn away from the one true and living God, which is manifested to us in Christ. Let's fast forward to the New Testament teaching of the Apostle Paul, that an unbeliever should not be yoked with an unbeliever. What is he telling us? Don't marry a Philistine. Don't marry somebody of another nationality. He's telling us that a child of God should be very cautious in the aspect of marriage and family and be yoked with a believer. That's the stipulation, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Talking earlier about someone whose spouse was not a believer. It was manifested in this person's actions. The child of God, for the sake of their joy and peace and worship and their children, should be married to a believer. Paul also said, if you dwell with one that's not a believer, and you're content in doing so, my words, that's okay. But if you're not, you can put that person away, only remain unmarried. That's beside the point, but we take that lesson from Samson because he was told under the law of Moses, and you better believe they knew it, especially this man who was to be Nazirite to God, who was a Nazirite from God, who was ordained before he was even conceived to be a Nazirite to God. I've got news for you. Every child of God is ordained before they're born to be a child of God. Yea, in fact, they're a child of God from eternity. The Bible teaches that. The Word of God teaches that. That's why I say Jesus said in John 6, all the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I shall in no wise cast out. But my point being, Samson fell in love with this woman. Josephus said she had rare and great beauty. Samson told his father, I want her, get her for me. His parents said, is there not a woman? Now I'm paraphrasing all this. Start reading in Judges 13, 14, 15, 16. Is there not a woman among thy people that you could marry? But Samson loved her. And Samson married her. He took her to wife. In direct disobedience. But what does the scripture say? The Lord, it says to this effect that his father, knowing not that this was of God, tried to convince Samson to take another wife. Now you take an example here. God, I do not believe, caused Samson to seek after this woman that came from her rare and great beauty, and Samson being a strong, vibrant man and seeing her beauty and wanting to marry her. That's what it came from. But God suffered that to be because God would use this, that God would, what does the word say? Begin to judge the Philistines. Samson didn't complete it. That would come later with other men and kings and all the way up to Christ. But he would begin in Samson. God didn't cause this. Just like with Joseph. His brothers sold him into bondage. What they meant for evil, God meant for good. God did not cause his wicked brothers who were jealous of him to sell him into bondage. But brethren, God is a God of means, and what they meant for evil, God took and made it for good. And God does the same today. That's the purpose and faith that we can understand. God meant it for good. And God would use this. Now they had a gathering. The Philistines sent 30 companions, 30 men down to the gathering. Josephus says they were there to take him if he misbehaved against the Philistines. I want you to take a point from that. Here is one single man named Samson, a Nazarite to God from the womb. The entire nation of the enemies of God feared this one man. Can you see and understand, as we live in this dark, vile world, as we live in this dark, vile nation, which is in rebellion against God, can you see how God will put fear in the hearts of his enemies over one child of God who's standing in faith in Christ above? They sent these 30 men down there. They made a riddle. Samson made a riddle with them. I can't recall the exact wording, but it was over the lion. And he had slain the lion. And what comes forth from the strong, what is sweet comes forth from the strong. It was the lion, the kid lion, a young lion. We face lions daily. David standing before Goliath said, the Lord delivered me from the paw of the lion. We face lions in this world daily. People want to go back to Genesis chapter 6 and talk about the giants in the land. They want to talk about how God's children bred with angels. That's impossible. That's impossible. Nothing can breed with flesh that's spirit but the Holy Spirit of God. But because there were giants in the land. Brethren, we have giants in the land today. You take faith in God. There are men in this world, in this nation, who are giants in our eyes with the evil and the power which they have, but they're under the hand of God. And God will handle that in his time. But he had taken, he made a bet with them. Basically, if you're going to sit in today's terms, I'll bet you a pair of breeches and 30 shirts. You can't solve this riddle. They went down to Samson's wife's house and sought her to beguile him and take the answer to the riddle. And they threatened to kill her and her father in their house if she did not. And she did. And he gave her 3 different false narratives of how to bind his strength because they feared him. Our strength is in the Lord. That is why they fear true disciples of Christ today. And they could not bind him. She did give them the answer to the riddle because she basically hounded him till he was so tired of it that he told her. And they burned her, and they burned her father. This angered Samson. Now you bear in mind, this text is on faith in God. Okay? Samson made some bad choices. There's one we've already spoken of. The following was a bad choice also. Yet he stood in faith of God, and God will never leave us nor forsake us. Samson took foxes, he tied their tails together, set a firebrand, a torch amongst them, and set them loose through the land of Palestine, burning their corn, burning their food supply. That's not exactly turning the other cheek, is it? Samson, I realize this is Old Testament. There was a whole lot of violence and war back there. There is today, if you look around. How many children murdered in the womb? Is that not war? Is that not violence on God's people? Let me tell you something, brethren. Those children leave the saints of their womb and are with Christ above immediately. God delivers his people, and we're no different than they are. Samson acted in the mind of man. Samson acted in vengeance when vengeance belongs to the Lord. But yet God blessed him because he stood in faith. He had this testimony that he pleased God because he believed God. He went down and he slew 1,000 of them with the jawbone of an ass. And then what do we see Samson saying after that? I have slain. I've done this. I'm standing in pride of what I have done. And echoing what Steve said, I'm going to tell you, the stand is an awful lonely place when the Lord's not with you. You want to hide under it. Samson's mind changed in the very next verse because he got thirsty and faint and was poor. And he made something, a statement that, Lord, thou hast delivered into mine hand. Here he's giving glory to God. God allowed his eyes to be opened. Sometimes we fall. Sometimes we get faint. Sometimes we turn to flesh. Sometimes we get weary. We get thirsty. We get hungry for the things of God because it appears like they're all gone because we've rested upon that dirty little word, I slew them. The Lord gave him water from the jawbone of the ass. We come to another spot where Samson was with a harlot. That's all it says. That's wrong. That's wrong in the eyes of God. But you listen to me. Christ came to forgive sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief. And I think we all feel that way sometimes. The Pharisees, seeing him eating with publicans and harlots, whose names in Matthew chapter 1 verse 5, Rahab the harlot. This man eateth with sinners and publicans. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You remember the woman at his feet crying and washing his feet with the tears from her eyes and wiping it with the hair of her very head in worship of Christ. Samson knew a harlot. Samson sinned. The text is here to show us that God does not forsake his people. We live in a world of darkness. I admonish everyone to turn to God. I pray every night, Lord, bless thy ministry to preach Christ and him crucified, nothing else, and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world and to begin with me. Because I am vile. Samson sinned. Yet God did not forsake him. And he even more so had this testimony that he pleased God. He's there in this cloud of witness. And then we see Delilah. Here's this man, been movies made about it, none of them scriptural, but most time when man makes something about the Bible, it's not true, is it? They got to put themselves in it, their own thoughts. That's what I love about what you're talking about in the Word of God, because that's just words to the world. But to us, it's the truth of Christ. God gives understanding of that. And I'm thankful for it. It's not something we understood of ourselves. Samson lay with Delilah. The Philistines, the enemies came. Well, we're going to catch him when he comes out at daybreak. We're going to surprise him. We're going to bushwhack him. We're going to kill him as he leaves at daybreak. But Samson got up at midnight. You know, back in this text, there's a place where it says the Spirit of the Lord would visit Samson from time to time. Perhaps this was one of those times. For Samson arose and went to the gate and took the gate and the bars of the side and took them up into a high place before Hebron. And they feared him. And they came down to Delilah, asking Delilah to find out what kept his great strength. He'd slain a lion with his bare hands, a young lion. And I don't know about you, but if you're over 50, then you realize the young are far stronger than the old. Josh asked me to break a nut on a tire one time. I said, "Boy, you're stronger than I am. Why are you asking me? You're younger than me." This was a young lion. It was strong. It was fierce. And Samson killed it with his bare hands because God was with him. We don't have to fear the lions in the world. We don't have to fear the giants in the world. We don't have to fear Satan, who walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's what Paul is teaching these born-again Hebrew children whom God has touched, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and brought them into the kingdom of God. He'd slain 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. His strength was renowned. Don't you ever doubt. Don't you ever doubt. When we walk in faith with God, by God's grace, faith is the fruit of the Spirit. We had nothing to do with that, but God gives us the ability to walk in it. Well, I'm saved by my faith. I've got my faith. I did it. It's my faith. Wrong. It's a gift from God and the Spirit of God, and it's for the purpose of God. God will not be left without witness. The people of God in this world who walk by faith bear witness to God, even as this sinful man, Samson. I say evil. He's a good man. He just made some stupid choices in life. Do we not make stupid choices? Lord knows I have. And God has saved me from them all. 1,100 pieces of silver, I believe, was the price. That's not $1,100. That's pieces of silver. If we just think about how much money that would have been, and here's a harlot who sells herself for money. She began to weigh on him, "You don't love me. You don't love me. You don't love me," or "You tell me." He gave her three different ways. You'd think the man would learn. He tells her one way, she does it. "The Philistines are upon thee, Samson." Well, how'd they get in here? I mean, are we this dumb? She let him in. She's part of it. He broke the bands. She did it again. Here's two times. "The Philistines are upon thee, Samson." And he did it again a third time. "The Philistines are upon thee, Samson." Men are incredibly stupid, foolish, and sinful. That is our nature. That's living proof. There's a reason God chose the Jews to show forth the natural man. She cried, she mourned, she told him over and over and over and over again, "You don't love me." And finally, he told her, "I'm a Nazarite. The locks of my hair have not been cut." So she lulled him to sleep in her lap. There's something there, Steve, you brought up in the way where sin seems good for the moment, but then there in his death. And she brought forth a man and cut his hair, and the Philistines came forth and put out his eyes. He was blind and could not see. And I'm going to close, but I want you to understand this as I do. He couldn't see. By Solomon's own action, sinning against God, Samson paid a price in this world. I am my worst enemy. Okay? They brought Samson in prison, but his hair began to grow, and his strength began to return. And the Philistines, let's make great sport. Do you realize the wicked desire to make sport over you? Do you see these protests where they want to make it legal to murder children? They're making sport of the children that are already dead. Our gods, little GS, have delivered Samson to us. But their gods, little G with an S, are not God in heaven. And God was with him, and his strength returned. And they brought Samson out. They were in the great, I'll call it a coliseum for lack of better words, and they're all up on the rooftop. The scripture says they're all sitting up there observing the festivities. Let's make sport with Samson. Let's torture this man. Let's ridicule this man. Let's belittle his God and blaspheme against his God. For our gods have delivered him into our hands. And that's the way the world thinks about you. That's the way evil thinks about you. That's the way Satan feels about you. But as you said, believe, because God hath given you faith. Walk with God. Do what God said. Have full assurance of faith that God will never leave us nor forsake us. They brought the boy out. Josephus makes a statement that agrees with the scripture that Solomon leaned against the pillars in the temple. He told the boy, I'm tired, I can't see. Please lay me against the temple. That's what Josephus said in history, the antiquities of the Jews. And Samson prayed to God. Now you listen to this. You listen to this. Not worried about himself. Not worried about anything in this world. Not worrying about the condition of the world, the government, or anything else. Lord, avenge me of mine enemies. His enemies are God's enemies. And he pushed on the columns and the whole structure fell and 3,000 people lost their life. You can see the example given in standing in faith with God. Here's a man who sinned. He made stupid choices. He lived in a vile world. They were in bondage of the enemy. Yet he walked with God, and God delivered him, and God delivered him, and God delivered him. He had faith in God, a gift, a fruit of the Spirit that God had given him. God did not leave him. God did not forsake him. And there, even at his own death, God used him to destroy the enemy. Do you know when we live today as God's people, disciples, that means disciplined believer, and we're disciplined and turn away from the world. The world fears us. And even at the point of our death, when we leave this body and Christ takes our soul to glory, when his angels take us home, you know, he's coming back for your body, not angels. That the structures of the wicked are destroyed. That the temple of God is raised up. This is an example of walking with God in faith by his grace in this world.